When we, just before our break, when we last met, we were talking about the restrictions on the instantiation and generalization rules. Once again, instantiation means giving an instance of a general statement. So a general statement, generalized statement, is given any X and so on, or there exists at least one X such that they have variables here that can mean anything. We don't know what the subjects are yet. If we have those statements and we remove the quantifiers, it's called instantiating, giving an instance of. And here is, there's one restriction on universal instantiation. I know most logic books say that there aren't any restrictions on this. If you have a universal proposition, then you can use any letter you want to be the constant, to be the specific instance of it. But there is one restriction, and that is you can't do just part of a line. If you've got a line with a whole bunch of X's and you instantiate with A, you have to do them all. And that's what this says. Any constant can be used to instantiate a universally quantified proposition, provided that all the occurrences of the replaced variable in the same line are also instantiated with the same constant. So you can't just do part of the line, you have to do the whole line. Maybe it wouldn't have occurred to you to try to do just part anyhow, but it, just in case it would, it's a restriction. On EI, there have to be more serious restrictions because you're taking a general statement and you're saying, now this is the specific instance this is true of. So any subject constant may be used provided it doesn't occur free in anywhere previously in the argument or in the conclusion. In other words, when you introduce, say, an A, a small letter A, to be the subject constant, the specific instance that we're going to talk about that will represent this general truth, that specific instance is a name of an individual. And it can't be in the name of any other individual. That letter can't already have named something else, or then you don't know the difference between them. And then over here, there are the generalization rules. I hope I'm not standing in the way of these. I want students to be able to copy them down. This is the UI, and that's EI. And over here is existential and universal generalization. There are no restrictions on EG. Anytime you have subject constants, you can write, there exists something that is this. And then there are most restrictions are on UG, and it's the most difficult one to make sure you don't violate. Constant can be generalized by UG. You can go from something that says there is this particular thing to everything is like this, if and only if that specific thing was chosen as the instance of a general truth in the first place. Otherwise, you could never justify going from there's one thing like this to everything's like this. So the rule reads, you can generalize over a constant provided it's not free in any line introduced by EI, it's not free in the conclusion, and it's not free in any premise of the line you want to generalize. Free, again, means not governed by a quantifier. In other words, it's a letter constant. Well, I hope those are clear, and I'll give you time to copy them down. And they're on the board behind me. And why don't I move out of the way so you get at least one clear shot of all those rules, and you can stop the tape or something and see them and copy them down. And we could be ready to go to another subject. Now I'm going to return to the restrictions on UG because I'm going to give you a way to keep track of what lines are premises to what lines as you go through a proof. And that way you'll know that when you reach a certain line and you want to do a UG step, you can do it if there's no free instance of that constant in any previous line. and you'll know which lines are actually the premises to that line that you want to generalize. Well, that's something for a later day. What I want to do now is to do some practicing with some statements formulated in this predicate calculus, and show you how they're done. So I'm going to erase all this off this board. So take a quick break, and I'll be right back. Okay, can you stop it? So that, yeah, they don't have to take time with this. Yeah. What did that take? 10 minutes?
5 minutes.
Okay. Five?
Yeah. Yeah. It doesn't look, on the video, it doesn't look like you're looking at the camera. Are you looking over?
No.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Then maybe that's just the angle of that.
I'll try to be more careful.
No, not a problem. Just an observation.
Okay, and we're going to have to let that dry a little. Okay.
Okay. 3, 2.
Okay, we've got the board cleared now, and we want to practice with some specific sentences to be put into symbols and see how we do with this new technique. But first, I want to explain what to do. If someone hands you one of these with a not outside of a quantifier, suppose somebody would give you a statement and they formulated it like this. We'll stick with all humans are mortal. This is not all humans are mortal. That's right. But we don't consider the not outside of a quantifier to be a normal way to write this. So we want to revert this to what's called normal form. If you do that, You move the you move the knot past the quantifier, and the quantifier changes. If it's universal, it becomes existential. If it's existential, it becomes universal. So this one will be rewritten like this, and we move the knot past it like that. Then we still have a knot outside of brackets, and as I've said to you many times, whenever you have a knot outside brackets, use De Morgan's theorem and move it inside and see what you're really working with. So what happens here is that the normal form would go like this. First, we do the rule implication on this, and then we'd get knot or mx. And then now you can do De Morgan's theorem, and what you get is knot h and knot m. And, of course, then you drop the double knots by the rule double negation, and you get there's a human that's not mortal. And that's the equivalent of not all humans are mortal. This doesn't say no humans are. To do that, you'd put the knot here on the predicate, right? All are not. This is not all are, which is the same as saying there's at least one that's not. The same thing is done if the knot's outside of an existential proposition. Suppose we have there's a human who's mortal, and we have there does not exist a human that's mortal. By the normal form, we move this over here. This becomes universal. Again, we use De Morgan's theorem. And then the rule implication. So this is, there does not exist a mortal human. Given any x of x is human, it's not mortal. Those are equivalent statements in meaning. So this is what the way we put things into normal form. You don't want to work with it in an argument. Never work with any line that's got a knot in front of a quantifier. Always move it in, see what you're really working with. What you really have here is not a universal but an existential statement that says there's at least one human that's not mortal. What you have here is not the denial, it's not an existential, but a universal. There is nothing exists that is like this, then for everything that is human, it's not mortal. This is really a universal, and they're equivalent. And you change it so that you have the knots distributed inside the statement, not in front of the quantifier. Then you can work with them. Because if you have a knot in front of a quantifier, you can't instantiate it. It tells you don't have that. So you need to figure out what you do have. And then, so this is going to be a matter of existential instantiation. This will be universal, even though you see a universal quantifier here and an existential one there. That's not what you really want to work with, what's put into normal form. Let's try a couple of sample sentences. Just take random examples and see what we could do. Get this out of our way here. I'm going to start you off with a tricky one. It's an old saying, all that glitters isn't gold. All that glitters isn't gold. Think about that while I get this board cleared. How would you formulate that? What is it that saying is supposed to convey to us? What piece of wisdom? Okay. You've had a couple of minutes to think about it. What'd you come up with? If you came up with this, Let's see. Let's. Well, I'm. Oh, excuse me. I need to give you this. Let's say this is GX means X glitters, and I'm going to use AX for is gold. So if we use those symbols, the G for glitter and the A for gold, then how would you write all that glitters is in gold? Well, one possible thing that might occur to you would look like this. Give it any X. If X is gold, then it doesn't glitter. But that, of course, is not what the saying means to convey at all. It doesn't mean that if something is of genuine value, that it doesn't appear to be valuable. It really is a saying that confuses the not all with the all or not. All that glitters isn't gold means not everything that does glitter, not everything that does look attractive, is really valuable. So what it means to say is not this, that gold, nothing gold that's gold glitters, which isn't true. What it means to say is that there's at least one thing that glitters, but is not gold. There's at least one thing that looks attractive, but is not genuinely valuable. Said I was starting you off with a tricky one. Let's take something a little easier. How about the advertising slogan? Nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. How would you do that? Let's say PX means X is a person, and LX means X like Sara Lee. How would you write that? I want you to try it. Nobody doesn't like Sara Lee. Well, if you said, given any X, if X is a person, then, and you have nobody doesn't like, it's the same as everybody does like. Everybody does like Sara Lee. The only other way you might have done it would be to have the not outside an existential. There is no person who doesn't like Sara Lee. Given there is no X that's a person and doesn't like Sara Lee. But then that's not normal form. And if you put it in normal form, you do it this way. Move the not over here, the quantifier changes. Then you do De Morgan's theorem and you get this. You get not LX, and you drop the two nots. Wherever we have two, we automatically drop them by double negation. And so then you would get VX implies LX. You'd get just what I had here. So if you see there is nobody, does not exist any person who doesn't like Sara Lee, by normal form, it comes out to the same thing as I started with. Everybody likes Sara Lee. That's what that means. And you have to look at this, the sentence carefully and analyze what it does mean and put down the right formula. Sentences in English can be very ambiguous. They can mean any number of things. And sometimes that's not always bad. Sometimes we intend to say more than one thing by means of a sentence. And, of course, poetry thrives on that. But in logic, a formula means one and only one thing. And if an ordinary English sentence can mean several, you'll get several formulations. You decide which is really intended, and you go with that one in an argument. Well, I hope these examples have been some help. We now have the restrictions on instantiation and generalization, and we have what to do if we have nots in front of quantifiers, namely put the line into normal form and then work with it. And we've tried a couple of examples. And I'm going to give you another short break, and then we're going to do a lot more examples, because I think that'll be the greatest help to you. Okay, now I don't think that's the end of a session.
Yeah, we're just taking a break.
Just break. And how many minutes are we in? We're about half.
We're about halfway down now.
Okay.
The other one is 5, and then this one, so we're about 15.
And 15.
Half on the button, yeah.
What's that?
We're like halfway on the button.
Yeah. Yeah. So I want to do 15 minutes of examples.
Perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to get to... See, I'm planning ahead. If I use these examples, then I want Bob Zondermann to send out for the course, send them other examples.
Okay, yeah.
So I don't want him to use this book. Okay, I got to remember to let him know about that. Okay, and then why don't I just go down this list? I think that's what I'll do. Okay, let's start. We'll get this one put to bed.
Yes.
Let me clear the board just.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. You give me the 1, 2, 3.
Alright.
Or the 3, 2, 1.
Alright. 3, 2.
Alright, let's take some examples and practice with this stuff. Here's a sentence. Let's try this. Sparrows are not mammals. True statement. Sparrows are not mammals. Now, how would you write that? We're going to use SX for X is a sparrow, and MX for X is a mammal. And how do we write that? First of all, the sentence as it's uttered or written has no quantifier in it. Does it mean all or some? Is it that there's at least one sparrow that's not a mammal, or are no sparrows mammals? It's the second, isn't it? Sparrows aren't mammals, they're birds. All right, so it means to say that for anything, if it is a sparrow, then it's not a mammal. And there's the way it's formulated. Given any X, if X is a sparrow, then it's not a mammal. Again, I call your attention to a universally quantified statement, and the main connective is if-then. That will almost always be so. It doesn't have to be. It's not a rule. It just almost always will be. I hope that's clear. Even though it didn't have a quantifier, you recognize that the quantifier is just implied. You're supposed to supply it yourself. Here's another one that's similar. Reporters are present. Suppose there's some scandal and somebody begins to speak out of turn and someone says, "Reporters are here. Keep your mouth shut." Does it mean to say every reporter is present, or that there's at least one? Well, it's not all of them. It's not every reporter in the world is here. Unlikely. It's that there's at least one reporter. So if again, here we use Rx is a reporter, Px, X is present. So how would we formulate that? Well, this would be an existential. There exists at least one X such that X is a reporter and X is present. And again, the brackets show how far the quantifier governs. If we without the brackets on the first one, it would read, given any X, if X is a sparrow, then something's a mammal. And without it here, it would read, there exists at least one X such that X is a reporter and something's present. But you wouldn't be the same thing. But by putting the brackets here, it sends the quantifier over both occasions. And there are no free X's in either line. Try this one now. Nurses are always considerate. And we'll use NX for X is a nurse, and CX for is always considerate. It's considerate. How would you do this? Nurses are considerate. Does it mean there are some that are? Or does it mean to say they all are? I don't know that it's a true statement, but it seems to me it's saying they all are. Remember that these examples are test sentences to put into the formula. It doesn't mean that they all assert true propositions. They may assert false ones. So here we have, given any X, if X is a nurse, then X is considerate. I think that's what it means. If you thought, however, it means that there's at least one nurse, I think the word always gives it away that they're talking about them all. This says there's a nurse that's considerate. But this would mean all nurses are considerate. And that would be irrespective of time, so it would be always. Try another. Diplomats are not all rich. DX for X is diplomat, RX for X is rich. How would you write that? Diplomats are not all rich. Well, according to what I've been telling you, we don't want to write this so that there's a not in front of a quantifier. We don't want to write, not all diplomats are rich, because we don't want to work with, can't work with nots in front of quantifiers. You can't instantiate this or include it, and so it can't be included in the proof till you get rid of the not in front of there. So it's going to be an existential. Not all are is there's at least one that's not. That's what we need to say. And so it turns out there's a diplomat who is not rich. There's at least one, so not all are. And you can derive this from this by the steps we've been through now, moving the not over. And so as to put this in normal form, we get the universal quantifier changes to existential. We have the not here. We do De Morgan's on this. And we get dx and not rx. Let's take some more examples. I'll give us some room on the board here, and we'll do some more of these. I think it's worthwhile for you to see examples of them done. On the final exam, you will be given some sentences in English to put into formula, and you will be given some formulated sentences with the key and asked to translate them into English, as well as proofs to construct, of course. So it's worthwhile spending some time with this. Try some more. No Boy Scout ever cheats. We're going to use the obvious BX for X is a Boy Scout and CX for cheats. How do we put, do no Boy Scout ever cheats? Not necessarily true either, but the question is whether you can put it in the formula. And it's universal, isn't it? It's given any X. If X is a Boy Scout, then X doesn't cheat. None are. No Boy Scouts are cheat. None are. This is the E-type proposition, right? It's the same form as we had for no horses are racehorses. No Boy Scouts are cheaters. Let's take another example. Here's a little tricky one. Only licensed physicians can charge for medical treatment. Only licensed physicians. So we're going to use LX as a licensed physician, and we're going to use CX for can charge for treatment. And how would you do this now? It's not speaking of a specific individual, so it's not existential, it's universal. But how do we do only if? Do you remember? I was over that. That's one of the exceptives, right? Only if, none but, all but, and so on. And if you remember what we learned then, it's instead of writing given Andy X, if X is a licensed physician, X can charge. That would say all licensed physicians can charge. It doesn't say only they can. But you do exceptives by flipping the order of the antecedent and consequent in a hypothetical. So you get, given any X, if X can charge, X is a licensed physician. And that way only they can. See, because from this it follows that if you're not a licensed physician, modus tollens, you can't charge. All right. That one makes you think a little. Snake bites are sometimes fatal. Snake bites are sometimes fatal. And we're going to use the obvious SX is a snake bite, and F of X means X is fatal. Snake bites are sometimes fatal. Well, it's not all, is it? It's not all snake bites are. So it's not going to be a universal quantification. It's going to be there is at least one thing that's a snake bite and is fatal. Another way of saying some snake bites are fatal is to say sometimes they're fatal. Actually, later on, we're going to expand our use of this new notation so that we could actually have a place in the argument for time. I mean a separate symbol for time. Only citizens of the United States can vote in U.S. elections. Only citizens of the United States. We're going to use CX for X as a citizen and VX for X can vote. So it's only if you're a citizen you can vote. How would you formulate that? Well, it's an exceptive again, like one we had earlier. This says all citizens can vote. That's fine, but it doesn't say only if. The way to make the exceptive is to reverse the order of the antecedent and consequent. Given any X, if X can vote, X is a citizen. Then only they can vote, because if you're not a citizen, you can't vote. Modus tollens. All right. Let's try a few more, and then we'll call it quits for today. Not every applicant was hired. And we're going to use AX for applicant and HX for X is hired. And I'll put it over here. Not every applicant was hired. Now, if you could do it this way, but again, we never recommend that. We don't want nots outside of quantifiers, because then you can't work with it. But this would be this, with my hand over the tilde. This says every applicant was hired. Given any X of X is an applicant, X was hired. So if you put not in front of it, it says not every applicant was hired. That's correct, but it's not in normal form. So to put it in normal form, we move the not past the quantifier, and the quantifier changes. And now we have AX applies HX. And then we can do implication on this, and we get not AX or HX. And then we can do De Morgan's on this, and we get AX and not HX. And there it is in normal form. So what it says is there is an applicant who wasn't hired. And this is the form in which you want it, and this is the form in which you can use it in an argument, and you can instantiate, do EI on this in order to use the line in a proof. This you can't instantiate because it says you don't. It tells you what you don't have and not what you do have. Okay. Maybe time for a couple more. How much time do we have?
We actually are right at 30 right now.
Okay. Okay. Well, we're out of time for today. So I'll see you next time, and we'll do some more practicing, and we'll learn a few new techniques to help you with proofs as well. Okay, so work on this between now and next time.